It is that last verse that I have read that I want to draw to your attention for a little while this afternoon. And what I want to speak upon is victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse there says, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, death is ever present with us in this world. That has been the case since death entered, when our first parents sinned many, many millennia ago. And therefore, as a result of their first sin, death has entered into the world. There is that connection that is made in one of those verses that we have read there, verse 56. It connects sin with death. And death is the result of sin, and therefore, because sin entered into the world, death followed. And therefore, we have death ever present with us in this world. And therefore also, we must needs die. As the Lord tarries, and as we await his second coming to this world, then you and I will go the way of all the earth. There's that verse in Scripture. It's found over in 2 Samuel. It says, we must all needs die. And there is a necessity in that regard that we will have to walk that way and go the way of all the earth. Now, the reality of death has certainly been brought home to us in recent times over this past year, maybe more than ever. We have been made to consider this matter, and even the present restrictions that there are and the decision of our presbytery to close our buildings for a period of time is because of the risk of death, the higher risk than normal of death that is prevalent in this society at the present time. And because the pandemic is continuing, and sadly there are those who are losing their lives, this thought of death is more prevalent, I think, than it has been for some period of time. Almost 2,000 people in Northern Ireland have lost their lives in what's described as COVID-related illnesses. Almost 2,000. If you think about the United Kingdom, it's over 110,000. Across the world, I think it's somewhere in the region of 2.3 million have lost their lives in what, as I say, is deemed COVID-related deaths. Death is ever with us. And that's what made me think about this portion of Scripture and this verse particularly this afternoon. Here is the promise of victory over death. And that's what I want to draw to your attention for a little while. I want you, first of all, to consider the terror of death that is highlighted. The terror of death. There is an enemy that is mentioned here, at least inferred in the statement, mentioned in the earlier verses. But in verse 57, where it says here, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." Well, the obvious question is, well, victory over what? Victory over whom? Who is the enemy? Who is the one that is defeated? Who is the one who has conquered? If there is a victory to know and to experience and to enjoy, well, then it is obvious that that victory has to be over someone or something. And it is death that is here before us that is being defeated. And death is mentioned in those previous verses that we have read this evening from this portion of Scripture. If you go back a little earlier into this chapter, if you go right back to verse 26, it calls death the last great enemy. The last great enemy to be defeated is death. Death is an enemy. Death is a great enemy. And the obvious reason why death is an enemy is it takes away life. Death has slain mankind. It speaks here about a sting in death. It speaks here about a victory that the grave can boast of. When an individual dies and is laid in the grave. So there is an enemy here. There is the sting of death. There is a victory that belongs to the grave. And all of this is highlighting the fact there is a terror about death. There is a sting because death is not a pleasant experience when we come to face death. You see, the terror of death is the fact that this enemy has slain before and it's going to slay again. We have already died spiritually. That's why there's death in the world, as I said a little earlier. And as a result of sin coming into the world, all of mankind died instantly, spiritually speaking, and they began to die spiritually. They began to die physically. So we died instantly in the spiritual sense, but we began to die physically when sin entered into the world. That was the warning that God gave our first parents. He warned them of the terror of death. He told them, if they disobeyed, ye shall surely die. And the Lord, when he made mankind and put man in the earth, warned us of the terror of death and told us the consequences of disobedience and told us that there would indeed be this terror that would enter into the world. And it is here, and it is slain. Every single individual born into the world is born spiritually dead. We are also born mortal creatures because the principle of death is now in all of our members. So death has already slain and it's going to slay again. You see, there is a terror that still awaits when we think about this subject of death. And that is why in a number of places in the New Testament, you will read about the second death. The second death. Four times in the New Testament, you will come upon that statement, the second death. And it's highlighting, men and women, the terror of death, not only in the past and what it has done, but also the future and what it holds. If we are not delivered from death, if we do not know this victory that is highlighted in this portion of Scripture and in this verse that we're thinking about this afternoon, then we will face that terror at a future time. It's not a physical terror. It is a terror of meeting a holy God and going down into what will be separation from God for all of eternity. For that is what the second death is. It is separation from God. And whether people acknowledge it or not, God is the source of all that is good. Everything that is good in this world ultimately is traceable back to God. He alone is good, and everything that is good in this world comes from God. But what must it be to face an existence? And there is no God, there's no sense of the presence of God, and there is no goodness that comes from God. That's what it is to go out into a lost eternity and to face the second death. That is why the Bible speaks about the terror of death. That is why we need to know the victory that there is in Jesus Christ over this death. It is because of the terror that it yet awaits that will one day meet every single individual. For we are going this way, every one of us. We are going the way of all the earth. Now you can delay physical death by various means. You can extend man's lifespan on the earth by various means, and all of those things are good and proper. But there is one thing you cannot do, and that is you cannot stop death. You can delay it, but you cannot stop it. You cannot stop having to face this terror if you are not right with God. And if you do not know the victory, and if I do not know the victory that there is in Jesus Christ, then we will have to face this enemy. We will have to face this terror. And what an enemy it is to face. So there is the terror of death that is highlighted here. But I want you also, in the second place, to think about the conquest over death. because as the verse obviously indicates, there is a victory. There is a victory here that is mentioned in verse 57. It says, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory." There's a victory over death. Death is defeated. In the earlier verses there, it speaks about the song that is to go up. Verse 54, it says, "There will come a time when that saying that is written will then be declared, death is swallowed up in victory." So there is a conquest over death that is here highlighted. There's a victory. There's a time when death was defeated, and you and I can avail ourselves of this victory. And that is what Jesus Christ came into this world to do. He came into this world not just to be a good example, and he was that. Not just to be the supreme teacher, and he certainly was that as well. But Jesus Christ came into this world to take on death and to defeat it. He came into this world to go to the cross and to contend with death and to defeat death. And that is what he did, and today he wears the victor's crown. Not only does he wear the diadem that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's the monarch of the world. He rules in this world, and therefore he has the right to wear the diadem. But the Bible speaks about another crown, a victor's crown, a crown that belongs to the individual who has overcome. Well, Jesus Christ wears the victor's crown. In fact, he wears many victor's crown because he has overcome many foes. And one of those foes that he has overcome is death. He entered into mortal combat with death, and he won the victory. He died himself, and in dying he went down into the grave, and there he did so to contend with death. And all that he did in going to the cross and dying on that Roman cross and then being buried and lying in the grave for those 3 days, he did it for this purpose, that he might contend with death and that he might defeat death and rob it of its power and obtain a victory that he will give to all those who come to know him. And today, you see, that is the good news of the gospel. My friend, there's victory over death. We do not have to be separated from God for all of eternity. We can come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and benefit from the victory that he has wrought out at Calvary and in the grave. That victory can be yours and it can be mine. And today we can benefit from that which Christ has wrought out. You see, there's those words that we have read here. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" This victory is real. There is a taking away of the sting of death. There is a taking away of the victory of the grave. That's what Jesus Christ did. By dying at the cross, he took away the sting of death. By entering into the grave, he took away the victory of the grave. There's been a great conquest, and it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you and I are no match for death. We cannot defeat death. We cannot overcome death. That is impossible on our part. But there is another individual that we can look away to. We look away from ourselves. There is no hope. There is no salvation in ourselves. Do not look to yourself for salvation. Do not think, my friend, that by something that you can do or something that you are, that somehow that will get you into heaven and God will accept you for who you are. He will not accept you for who you are. He will not accept you for what you have done either. Both who you are and what you have done are grounds for condemnation before God. We need to look away to another. We need to look away to God's own dear Son, the one whom he sent into this world, who went to the cross and who died in order to defeat death, the one who went down into the grave and lay there for those hours, 3 days and 3 nights. He was in the heart of the earth. And he did it in order to rob the grave of its victory. And it is to Jesus Christ that you and I must look this day for salvation, for deliverance. And if you do not come to Jesus Christ, then your soul will perish forever. You will meet the terror of death, my friend. If you do not come to Jesus Christ, it's one or the other. It's one or the other. Either you and I come to Jesus Christ and seek him for salvation, or we meet the terror of death head on, and it will take us down to a lost eternity. And through the eons of eternity to come, our soul will be separated from God. But why perish when there is a Savior? Why be lost when there's a Savior that you can come to? There's a Savior who invites you. There's a Savior who will welcome you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, there's a welcome. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. There's a welcome for the sinner. If you realize your need and realize something of what it is to meet the terror of death, then flee to Christ today, and you will find a welcome there, and you can avail yourself of the victory that there is in Jesus Christ, that victory that he won. He is all-powerful. The promise was made. In fact, it is the very first gospel promise that there is in the Bible, that Jesus Christ would crush the head of the serpent. And the Bible tells us that it is the serpent, the devil, who has the power of death. But Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil and to destroy him who had the power of death and to deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. My friend, there's deliverance. There's a victory in Jesus Christ that can be ours today. We can avail of it. We can avail of it even now. And we can know the victory of Christ that he wrought out on Calvary for poor sinners. Oh, why perish? Why perish then? Why go on and be lost, my friend, when there's a salvation to have, when there's a victory of Christ that can be yours and mine? Why should we perish? There is no sense in that. There is no wisdom in going on in our sins and then perishing. And I trust that the Lord might open your eyes and make you to see that this day and bring you to himself. One further thing I want you to consider here, not only the terror of death and the conquest of death, but I want you to think about the reversal of death. The reversal of death. Because that's what Paul is specifically speaking about at the end of this chapter. He's speaking about the reversal of death. You see, it is indeed true that we might have to face physical death, that we have to go the way of all the earth, and that there comes a time when you and I have to die. And there's those in our family circles and among our loved ones, and they have gone before us, and they have had to go down that valley, and they have had to face death, and they have left us, although we may not want them to go yet. It was their appointed time to die. But I want you to notice here that Paul is speaking about a day when death is reversed, when the effects of death are reversed. And there's two particular things that he is mentioning. First of all, it tells us that death will not be allowed to hold on to its victims. There's the first aspect of the reversal of death. Death will not be allowed to hold on to its victims, because there's a resurrection day that is coming. This is a great chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter about the resurrection. Right from the very beginning, the whole way through, but certainly the earlier parts, it's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the consequences that that has then for all those who are trusting in Christ. And to bring Paul's argument that he makes here down to a few simple words, it is this: if Christ has risen, then so will all who are trusting in Christ. That's the simple point. that Paul is making. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and as a result of that fact, then all those who trust in Jesus Christ will also rise from the death, from the dead. Here is the reversal of death. Death will not be allowed to hold on to its victims. And those who have died, and you and I as well, as the Lord tarries, and that day comes when we have to die as well. Here is this glorious truth. Death will not be allowed to hold on to us. It will not be allowed to keep its victim. The Lord will see to it. And as Jesus Christ came forth from the grave and rose victorious, then there is that assurance here that all those who are trusting in Christ will rise as well. And therefore there's going to be a great resurrection day, that day when Christ Jesus comes again. That day there will be a resurrection, the resurrection of the just, the first resurrection, as it is called in the Bible. And all those who have died in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says. They shall rise first. Death will not be allowed to hold on to its victims. There is the reversal of death. That's part of the victory and the conquest of Christ. And therefore you and I can look forward to that. And although we may have to face death in the physical sense, yet we can do so with that confidence, with that faith, with that belief that death is going to be reversed and there's going to be a day of resurrection. And the first part of this chapter is all about that. But then there's a second point here to this reversal of death. And that's what Paul is particularly speaking about here at the end of this chapter. Not only is there the reversal of death and a great resurrection, but there is immortality coming. There is immortality coming. And with immortality, that will mean that death will never be able again to afflict itself upon any individual. If you and I have immortality, then we can never die. And that is the promise that is here. This mortal must put on immortality, is what Paul says. This corruption must put on incorruption. This liability to death that is within us all is going to be taken away. And in its place, incorruption is going to come. And those are the two ways in which death is reversed. First of all, resurrection, and then immortality. And we will know death defeated, that it may never visit its misery upon us ever again. And that is what is found in Jesus Christ. That is the victory that is in Christ. And when this verse 57 tells us that, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the victory. It is resurrection victory. It is immortality that is the victory. This is what Christ won when he entered into combat with death and with all those other foes, and that he was victorious over them. This is what he won. This is the victory that he won. And this belongs to all who trust in Christ. And therefore today I trust that we might come to know him today and to believe on him to the saving of our souls and enjoy this victory and look forward to this reversal of death. Even our physical death will be sweetened with the presence of the Savior. Even though we may have to die physically as the Lord tarries and await that day of resurrection, even our physical death will be sweetened because we know Christ as our Savior and there is a victory that he has won. May we be able to say, this is our victory. May we be able to give thanks. And I would draw that thought to your attention even as we close, each one of us that knows Christ today, Let us give thanks, but thanks be unto God. My friend, we don't deserve this. We have not earned this or merited this. We ought to have been cast down to hell if God had dealt with us as we deserve, but he hasn't. He has dealt with us in mercy. Therefore, give thanks. Let us give thanks today to the Lord for all that he has done. Oh, may the Lord bless his word, and may there indeed be in us that spirit of thanksgiving over all that he has done for us.